Blog Talk Radio.
This is Tim Stafford with Stevie Anderson Radio right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. And it is Thursday, kind of an odd day for us, kind of. Most of the time we're on Mondays. Sometimes we move on to Tuesdays, and today we're on a Thursday, December 18th. But we only really have one opportunity between the two of us to get in one more show before the end of the year. And we wanted to make sure that we were able to get a Christmas show in because we want to talk about Christmas and some other things. And we want to make sure that we could get one more show in for our listeners to be able to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we just believe, I certainly believe, that this could be a year that changes a lot of lives and for a lot of positive things. So we are looking forward to what 2015 has in store. But here on the show, we want to just kind of round out here on the 18th of December, round out the end of 2014 and be able to do one last show. And, of course, as always, my host here with the most is Stevie Anderson. And so before we get him on, I just want to make sure that you know that if you want to call in tonight, just call 323-417-6724, 323-417-6724. Just call on in. Call in, and, Stevie and I get talking, and sometimes it takes a minute or two to get you in, but we will get you in. We've had some wonderful guests on this show this year, Stevie. I think back to some of the really great guests we've had, and then we've had a lot of really great callers who have called in. So I would say this year has been super successful, and I look forward to what kind of radio shows we're going to be able to do in 2015. So thanks for letting me be a part of the show, and I've really enjoyed it.
Oh, absolutely. I've enjoyed it too, Tim. I mean, Dr. Stafford, more than anything, I really have. but you know what happened too? I mean, this year passed by so fast.
Oh, it did.
I mean,
you're
it felt
right.
Right? It was just fast. This is a fast, fast year. But this year, 2014, there was a lot of tragedies in 2014.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into that pretty soon. But it seems like, realistically, like 2 months ago, we're back at the same time last year.
Mm-hmm,
That's
mm-hmm.
how fast it passed. But we're here, and we have to move forward. And we pray that we all make it through the end of this year and have a wonderful Christmas and go on to the new 2015 with all positive things happening for us.
Now, I heard a rumor that you just got done. You just had an accomplishment happened. You passed some sort of a player's test. You have to explain it to us exactly what it is, but you just passed something that really it makes a big difference in your golf career. So tell us a little bit about that.
Thanks for reminding me. It's called a player ability test. What happened is that if you want to, sometime during your lifetime, if you want to fall back on being a certified golf instructor, professional golf instructor, mm-hmm. I must say professional
right.
because that's what it is, you have to pass this player ability test. And you have some guys actually, they go and do the paperwork, which is the studies, the bookwork, for a year or two and et cetera, but they always have to come back and pass that portion with the playability test. And they, and, you know, unfortunately, some guys, they don't pass it. So I decided to go out and actually try to tackle the hardest part, which is the playability test. It consists of basically 36 holes, approximately 8 hours, and you probably get a 30-minute break. So it's nonstop golf. I mean,
wow.
Just focus, focus. I passed it. You looking at about 4 or 5 strokes, I believe, somewhere in that area, over par, within 2 rounds. So it's quite of a challenge. It really is. I felt like I was back playing football again, where you're in that zone, and I'm finally getting that zone back. I've been reaching forward in tournament play, and that particular time, which was about 3 to 4 weeks ago, I actually felt that zone. I was back in there again. And after I finished playing, my mind was just somewhere else. And I like that because my mind is getting really, really ready for tournament golf going into the new year. I really felt my mental frame, the position I was in. And since we're on that topic, Tim, I'd like to thank everyone for the support with the positive comments toward my golf achievement in the previous week. Nevertheless, I know going into the new year, pursuing my PGA Touring card, and that's where Tiger and Phil or those guys are at, touring the United States and showcasing their talent. It's going to be a tough road task, but with hope, I'm going to give my best to accomplish that goal. So that's what I'm reaching now. I just wanted to go back and I just wanted to have that foundation of being a certified professional and being able to actually teach individuals the game of golf. And I thank God and my family for that, because it's a good feeling. It really is. But I feel like I'm not nowhere near finishing what I have to do while I'm here in this lifetime. It was a golf game. Well, we're going to see what happens. I'm excited and about the new year. I'm keeping myself in pretty decent shape. And my mind is back where I want it to be at with that competitive focus. Thanks again.
Yeah, well,
thanks again.
I think that's an incredible accomplishment. I mean, I think that's something that, most people, I think most people would think to themselves, well, I'd like to be able to play 8 hours of golf. But, I mean, you know, 8 hours of golf, I mean, that is crazy. I mean, that is a lot of, that's just a lot of time and a lot of, you got to really be on, you know, you got to be at every level mentally and physically and everything. You got to be super shape. So, I commend you for doing that.
Yes, and thank you so much. Yeah, I was talking to my older brother afterwards, and you can see as the round going, you can see some guys just dropping off how they need to hit this shot here to make the cut. And they have to, and you go to another guy, some guys who's friends, some guys up east, some guys I played with. One guy was from Ohio, another guy was up in the Connecticut area, and Pennsylvania. But even just not that, the other friends, you can, it's just a mental task. And I would say, I think for me, Dr. Stafford, is that from football, playing at such a high level, the highest level you can play, and just, you know, from my older brother, just, and his friends, basically just, in a sense, pushing me to the limit, all that, and my family, and just my neighbors, everyone, you know, it all helps. It's a collective push from everyone having a foundation of positive. So I see, like I said, I thank everyone for it, and it's time to crank it up going to the new year. So I'm getting ready for the new year. I'm actually going to be playing out in the California area and upcoming around January. And then I'm going to go, the tour kind of goes from there. It goes all the way back around through California, back through Arizona, and back through Utah, and it just keeps coming down to the warm areas, and then later it goes back up north. So in between that time in August, hope to have made the cut. If, so we'll see what happens. But
wow.
Yeah, but, so,
yeah, that's
but,
that is truly amazing.
Yeah, thank you. But you know what? I think too is that you know you have some people out there. I'm going to probably post my scorecard probably in a couple weeks how well I played. But a lot of people just don't see it. You know, as a football player, I always say I'm a football player. So when I make a good shot, you know, don't feel so bad. I'm a football player. So kind of like a little not tease and assist, but. There's a competitive thing because a lot of people don't believe a lot of football players. I think one of the guys, Charles Barkley, made a comment to, I think, Eric Dickerson the other day. He said football players can't play golf. You know, we hackers, but that's all wrong. That's all wrong. But, yeah. So thanks again. And this time it's time to rock and roll going to the new year. So we have a lot of good things to talk about tonight on this Hopes. On the hope situation, basically we talked about the topic, how do you maintain hope through tragedies? So,
right.
Let's...
Well, you know, it's always funny to me, Stevie. Well, what's always funny to me about this is, the holidays, the holiday season, you know, starting really, I would say, right after Halloween. You know, Halloween is on, and then right after Halloween we start getting ready for Thanksgiving. And then once Thanksgiving starts, and we really start the Christmas season. So I would say the week of Thanksgiving is when it starts. There can be a fair amount of tragedies, that surround, just the holiday season. It's fairly well known that older people, they tend to die at Christmas time. I think it's probably because of the cold and other things. I mean, there's probably other reasons. It might be
that
emotionally it's harder for them because it's Christmas and they're getting older or whatever. I think people are under a lot of stress at Christmas time because, of course, we're spending money and we're trying to do the best for our families. I know for myself, I work extra, I do extra jobs and things, trying to make enough money to be able to, you know, get Christmas gifts for my kids and that kind of stuff. So, you know, there's that whole piece of it. Plus, we were talking about over the weekend, then there's just stuff that just happens in the world. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, just you've got people that are dying overseas, and you've got people that you've got tragedies that are happening in America, and you know, there's just a lot of reasons for people to lose hope, and that's really what I wanted to be able to talk about tonight. I wanted to be able to talk about the fact that, hey, don't lose hope. Christmas is really about hope, and so I know that we have a lot we're going to talk about, but that's where we really want to get to tonight, is to say, hey, listen, don't forget at Christmas time that, you know, Christmas, the reason for Christmas is really about hope. And so,
Well, let me do this then. Let me give you a definition. Let me give our audience the definitions for our listeners. The definition of hope, I like to get the definitions, the topics, when we were speaking on a radio show, but it says a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. That's a noun portion. Let me give you a verb portion of hope. It says wanting something to happen or be the case. And also, too, for tragedy, the portion of that, tail end of that, an event causing great suffering, destruction and distress, such as a serious accident, crime, a natural catastrophe. And we've seen a lot of that this past year. So
we have.
You know,
we have.
Yeah, we have. And I like to, for everyone to at least, you know, send prayers out to the kids that were killed over in Pakistan, am I saying it right? And with 132 kids, and plus just the ones that was killed too, even just the teachers and was murdered. That's just an extremely sad situation. I was on the golf course and I found myself talking about it, and I found myself getting kind of loud. I feel like I was back on the football field, getting ready to go and I don't mean this is a bad way, but you know, you have to gear yourself up when you're playing professional sports, especially playing receiver, because if you don't, you find yourself with your helmet flying probably about 15 feet across, you know, the football field. So you have to keep that, I would say, that kind of cockiness. And I know a lot of people don't understand what I'm talking about, and I'm trying to say this in a safe way, in a sense. But football is a very aggressive sport, and I felt myself going back into that. I just got kind of I got angry. I really did. I got angry. I was talking to my buddy, and I was like, man, there's certain things. I was telling my dad yesterday, there's certain things, you know, that you just don't do. You know, and you're going out and murdering kids, man. That's just, I don't care if the kids are in, if there was kids on Mars, they're still kids. They're still kids. You understand what I'm saying? They don't have to be in the United States. They're still human. So that plus, you know, our protesters hoping for a better change, and all of us are hoping for a better change of what's going on out there, the law enforcement situation. But let me say this is a law enforcement situation. I was telling my buddy about this, and I know we haven't gotten to the topic yet. We're just kind of hitting on it, but I was telling my buddy, I was like, I can actually count the times that I've actually had a problem with law enforcement. There are some terrific guys out there, law enforcement, and we need them. We need them in our life. We need them for protection. So we have to, when we go to bed at night and in the daytime, we say our prayers and hope for the best, because you never know what a person is going through. That's law enforcement. That's the one on the street driving crazy, especially down here in this area. It could be anywhere. You never know what a person is going through. So try to, and I heard some of my family all the time, try to be at ease, be calm much as possible, and teach that in our youth too. So, you know, you can't have two heads butting at the same time. It's going to be a problem. Something's going to break. Someone, it has to be able to give in it. You have to have some type of slack in it. So let's work on that as a generation of people to work on our minds and stay calm and going through life, because God is watching. He's watching. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to say that about what's going on out there with the prayers go out to the kids and the families that's all been murdered, just catastrophes, period. Just not there, all over, and just with the protesters, and I'm with them. You know, we won't change for a lot of good, and let's go for that.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I think a lot of times, you know, when we're upset about things, Stevie, sometimes our tendency is, I got to be careful how I say this. I don't want people to take it the wrong way, but our tendency is that we want to find somebody to blame. And you know, sometimes there is somebody to blame. And I'm not suggesting that, you know, in some of these situations, there isn't something that, you know, is wrong that needs to be fixed. And I'm not suggesting that. But what I am saying is that sometimes you got to be careful, because sometimes things do not look as they appear to us. That's not the reality. Sometimes how things appear to us, and I know a lot of law enforcement agents, because of my work with the church, there's a lot of law enforcement folks that come to the church, and I'm like you. I just don't have, I've gotten pulled over before, and I've had some things happen, but I've never had a bad run-in with the police, and I certainly am glad that they're out there, and I'm certainly glad that they are taking care of us, that they're willing to go into harm's way for us. And in our armed forces, I could not be more grateful for the men and women that serve our country and go into harm's way for us every day. And so, you know, we got to make sure that we always have the right mindset when it comes to these things. And do some things in America need to be changed? Sure. I'm not suggesting that's not true. But what I am suggesting is that you know, we got to make sure that we're being part of the solution and not part of the problem, if you know what I mean.
Right. But, no, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. I would just say that I would say as me, I said that I can count the officers that I've been, that I've had problems with. I can kind of have had some awesome officers that I've been pulled over or just, you know, but I got mama say too, this and, you know, my parish used, I'm not going to go that part, but I would say this is that a lot of times as a professional ex-athlete, say just professional ex-athlete and still going to professional golf, I think we're looking different than the norm, but I would just say that you never know. There are some officers out there just on tense and on edge. So if they give you a command, you know, try to do so. But if a law enforcement is out of order, he's out of order. So.
Right.
It's a sticky situation. I was just saying that there are some officers out there that are not good, and there are some officers out there that's fantastic. That's just it.
Right. Right.
Having both ways, and just I say to everyone, just keep your prayer, keep your hope going forward. Hopefully, there's change going to be made, and at the same time, if you're approached by an officer, just be respectful as possible can be. That's all you can do. Now, if something happens and goes wrong, at least you've done your part. Because at the end of the day, like I said, when we all dead and gone, you got to have some lesson to listen to. So you know, killing, whatever, et cetera, is wrong, and you will pay the price for it. Might pay a price right now, but you're gonna have your day. And you know you have.
Yeah.
I mean, so, but let's rock and roll, because I'm getting off. We don't want to get off track. Let's get back into this hope. But Stafford, I would say that I've been in my situation with hope. You've seen others and yourself. You go through situation in life where you just have to. Only thing you can go out is on hope, and I'm gonna go to that. And I had some comments that was actually on my Facebook. I'm gonna go through a few of them here. And first of all, before I do that, let me go to this first, and then I'm gonna go to two Bible verses. Okay. One guy, he says, sometimes all we have is hope, which strengthens our faith. I'm going to say it again. He said, sometimes all we have is hope, in which strengthens our faith. That's very strong right there. That's very strong. Also, too, we have a young lady. She said, by trusting in the Lord and believing that we will see that he will see you through no matter how bad it seems. We go back to praying and trusting God, and he will see you through, that he will watch over you. And I like to say on that, too, a lot of times we can have hope and we feel like it didn't go our way, like we failed, but you didn't fail. That didn't happen. Down the road, it's going to show up in a positive way for you. Am I saying that? Because you understand what I'm saying, Dr. Stafford?
Yeah, I know
what
you're saying.
A lot of times you have hope and it doesn't go. Yeah, a lot of times you have hope and it doesn't go your way. Doesn't mean that it wasn't right. It still is going to happen down the road. You may not get it now, but you get it later in a positive way. I'm going to come back to that because it actually says it in a quote in the Bible. Like I just said, almost got it. Also, too, there's another. When here it says, young lady, she said, trusting in the Lord, believing what he said in his word. I have had some difficult times, he said, but God has given me the strength to keep pressing onward. And said, if you know him, his word is true. Just know that nothing is hard with God. So what would you say about what she said here? She said, trusting in the Lord, believing what he said in his word, and basically said, if you know him, his word is true. Just knowing that nothing is too hard by having God. So what if a person doesn't have God? You think they would have to start, do you think their hope would be pretty strong? If they don't believe in Jesus Christ, believe in God, do you think their hope would be pretty strong?
Yeah, I think the question that I have about that, I mean, that's a tough question, to answer. I think that, the question I would have to those who don't believe in God is, I'm not suggesting that you couldn't have hope, because, I mean, if you say you have hope, I'm not here to judge whether or not you have hope or not. But I just want to know how. How can you have hope? How can you have hope? I mean, the problem that you're going to face as a person who doesn't believe in God is that you're going to come to a certain level of reality that you're going to have to either believe in yourself or those around you. And we all fail. All of us fail. Mm-hmm. I will fail people. I'll fail myself. I'll make mistakes. I'll do those things. And so is having hope then just a worthless exercise because, I can't really believe in anybody anyway. I can't rely on anybody anyway. No, I think that we have to come to the place that we have to recognize that there's got to be something greater than ourselves. And so certainly the belief in God helps to propel the idea that hope can exist beyond what happens to us here. And if there's something that's greater than we are that we can hold on to, then that's the thing we have to hold on to. Now, many people will have many different ways to explain that. And I think we try our best to explain those things in humanly terms. I just don't think I don't think we need to do that. I think we just need to grasp the reality of what it is, and that is that God exists. And, God's word is very clear. It says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so many people who are losing hope, their heart gets sick. They're heartbroken. They're facing very real sadness and difficulty. And don't allow your hope.
Say it again. Because say it again. What you said. A lot of times they're facing some crucial situations and they're heartbroken, right?
Yeah. I mean, we face situations where our hope gets deferred. Our hope, mm-hmm. But you'll notice that that a deferral of hope makes the heart sick. So if a person's hope gets deferred, we get heartbroken. Things happen to us. We're not really sure we don't know how to wrap our mind around what's going on in our life. I certainly have faced that. I know that you certainly have faced it. There are many, all of us, anyone listening to this program right now, whether you're listening right now at 7:28 p.m. Eastern on December 18th, or whether you're listening to it a year from now, there are things that happen in your life that you cannot explain. You don't understand why it's happened. And so you're heartbroken, and you have a deferred hope, and that makes your heart sick, and you can be sick. But listen to what I'm saying. Having a sick heart doesn't mean having hope deferred, meaning that because you have a sick heart, doesn't mean that hope is gone. It doesn't mean that hope has disappeared. Because if hope deferred makes a heart sick, then hope being gone kills you. It's death. It's over. It's emotional death. And what I'm trying to tell you is that you've got to try to find something. Everyone that's listening to this program, I happen to believe in God, and I don't have any problem with talking about it. I don't have any problem talking about my belief in Jesus as being the Messiah and all of those things. And so having said that, I just want everybody to know that everyone has got to find something that they can hang on to that's outside of their reality so that they can re-steer themselves back toward hope. Because if you allow hope to be deferred for too long, you will begin to lose hope. And a loss of hope is total destruction. That is absolute. That is, it's that no one can live in a completely hopeless state. We're not designed to live like that. Humans are not designed to live in a hopeless state. Humans are designed to have hope, and hope is what drives us. I think about football, Stevie. And this is a really bad example, but you got a team that's down by 3 points. They got 1 minute left in the game. Right. And this is the game that they're going to be able to, if they win, they're going to be able to go to the Super Bowl. There is so much hope that everybody must have on that team that this is possible. There's got to be hope. It's what's driving that, yes, is a lot of skill and a lot of play calling and a lot of coaching and a lot of skills and ball handling, and all those things are true. But at the end of the game, at the end of the day, everybody had to grab on to a lot of hope and say, we can do this. And that's what I'm saying. In life, there's a lot of situations that are like that. And you're just going to have to say, man, I don't get this. I don't get what's going on, but I have hope that it's going to turn out okay. And I don't know what people hang on to when they don't have God. I don't know how that happens. But I can tell you right now that I have seen a lot of tragic things happen to people. And the greater tragedy was not the tragedy that happened to them. You know, a loss of a loved one, the loss of a limb, a great financial crisis, a terrible situations. What was the greatest tragedy of all was that they didn't have any hope, and it ended up wiping them out. That's what really, I mean, I've seen suicides and so many other things that happen that
Absolutely.
Are just terrible. Because people just lost hope, and you can't lose hope. And so when we talk about Christmas, we have to remember that Christmas is really all about hope. It's really about God inserting himself into humanity to give us hope.
But that's the step that I find, even from my small town where I'm from, even in the cities I travel, and people from having dinner, whomever, socializing with, I find it's half and half now, where there are people out there just don't have any hope. They only believe what they see. My younger brother was talking one day. He was talking about a lot of people just don't have hope. He trying to say faith, basically, but the hope to achieve this, or just give it hope, it'll work out. They just don't have it. There's people that they don't have it, but the way we were raised, we were preached, and you are, Dr. Steph, where you were. It was instilled and you learn that, hope, it strengthens our faith, exactly like the gentleman said. And you're right, I've been, and if you say when you play in a team sport, all you can do is go out there and just hope that we can make this play. We can hope we can do it, it works out. And the coaches, a lot of achievements, reaching a high level in a profession, that can be from school teaching. That can be from, doctors. That can be having just, a job. You could be working as a clerk, et cetera, working as a teller. It don't matter. Hope is the reason for the season. You have to have it. Like you said, it's just an ingredient you have to have in your when you're cooking. If you don't have the hope in there, it's not gonna taste right. You have to have it.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you over here in Romans 8 verse 24th chapter. It says, "Hope that is seen is not hope." I said Romans 8 verse 24th chapter. It says, "Hope that is seen is not hope." I'm gonna say it again. Because this is the problem with people today. Golfers, people I've seen, there are some people don't believe anything, but they see it, that's what they believe. They don't believe it, okay? That's why you have a lot of people don't believe in God, because they don't see him. You say, well, there's no God. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? Okay? I'm going to say it again. Hope that is seen is not hope, for hopes for what he sees. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Read your another one. Romans 12:12. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient, be patient, be patient in time of trouble. And never stop praying. One more time. Romans 12:12. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in time of trouble. And never stop praying. And I would say that's an advantage to a believer. You can somehow get through those hard times because of prayer. I know a lot of people, tons of people, all across this world, they can be out the country, they can be all over the place, that would pray and they're still moving forward. And they've somehow managed to keep going forward in a positive direction because of hope.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what, too, Stevie, I can tell you that a lot of times people, you know, and I certainly do not want to sound insensitive here, so please don't take it that way. But, you know, I tell people all the time that I counsel with a lot of people all the time, and I just tell them, look, you know, most of the time people do not have problems to solve. They have decisions to make. Now, that's very important because sometimes we do have problems
to solve.
Again.
Repeat that again, Dr. Stafford. So repeat it again,
yeah,
you said it.
I would say more often than not, maybe 90% of the time, people don't have problems to solve. They have decisions to make. There are decisions that you have to make. I'm going to give you a really good example from my own life because that just is safe. But on August 24th was one of the most incredibly difficult days of my life. On August 24th of this year, I found out that I had no idea, but I found out that I had diabetes. And I had diabetes. I have very serious diabetes. I didn't know that. And I had been living with it for a long time and just didn't know. And I remember at the time I thought to myself, I was devastated because, you know, I just didn't know. And I had a very, you know, I was very sick. It took me weeks to recover. And, but I remember about 2 weeks in and I was just really, I was really, really sick. And I remember getting to the point that I had to say to myself, you know what, God has allowed this to happen for a reason. I don't understand it, but he's allowed it to happen. And beyond that, so the part that I play in this is that I have a decision to make. Am I going to just take this in stride and do what I've got to do to get well? Or am I just going to let it kill me? Because, I mean, that's basically what I was facing. Basically, I was facing if I didn't turn this around and make some major changes in my life, then this disease was going to take my life from me, and it was going to do it in a very nasty way. It was going to take my feet and my eyes, and I mean, you know, it's terrible. So I made a decision. It was too big of a problem to solve. I knew that it wasn't that I had a problem to solve because the problem was there, and we knew what to solve. We knew what we had to do. I had a decision I had to make. I had to say, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. Well, I can tell you that was about 15 weeks ago or so, 16 weeks, and now I'm sitting here today. And, you know, my glucose numbers are all regulated. Everything is fine. And I've lost 46 pounds. And I'm on my way to losing 100, you know. And the reason is, I'm getting better. And I've completely changed my life. Completely has changed my life. And the thing about it is that I'm getting well, which is the first, I haven't felt as good as I do now in 10 years or more. And so the truth is, it was the greatest thing that could have ever happened to me, was to find out that what was wrong. And I think a lot of times people don't look at bad news like that. I think a lot of times what they do is they look at bad news as being bad news, but sometimes you got to know the bad news so that you can get to the good news. And there's a decision there that has to be made. There's a decision that has to be made. And I think a lot of people have to make a decision at the holiday times. You know, I think you have to make a decision in tragic situations. And your decision is, here's the decision. It's a hard decision to make, but it's not a hard decision to understand. The decision is not, I'm going to get over diabetes. That's not the decision. The decision isn't, I'm not going to eat any more sugar. That's not the decision. Although that's a decision you have to make, by the way. But it's not a decision. The decision that I had to make to get to where I am right now is that I'm going to not lose hope. That's the decision I have to make. I'm not losing hope here. The reality is I've got a lot of decisions I'm going to have to make, but the biggest decision is I'm not going to lose hope. And I think that's the most important thing, Steve, because you know people have to understand that, hey, listen, things happen to you. And you're not always going to be able to wrap your head around what happens to you. You're not. But you can always make a decision that regardless, I'm not going to lose hope. And for me, I'm always going to serve God. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter what happens to me. I'm just going to always serve God. And so, you know, I'm not going to lose hope because he is my hope. And so I think that's what's important here is as we talk about Christmas and as we look at the Christmas season, that we remember that Christmas is not about presents and it's not about giving and it's not about family and it's not about all those things. All of those things are a part of Christmas, yes. And they're all good things, trees and ornaments and songs and popcorn and all that. All of those things are great. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But what Christmas is really about is hope. And you were exactly right. Hope is the reason why this season exists. It exists because God inserted himself into our world to give us hope that everything that we've done wrong can be forgiven. There is no greater hope than that. There is no greater hope in knowing that what I've done wrong, God can forgive. And that I don't have to live with that the rest of my life. That he can those things do not have to define me anymore. That forgiveness can define me. That's great hope. And so I would just say to you, Stevie, you know, as we kind of, you know, are wrapping up this year of 2014, that, you know, that's what I want people to go into 2015 with. My prayer would be that anybody who's listening to this show would go into 2015 with hope.
Right. Right. You have to have it. You have to have it. And even just our comments from individuals making the comments, very, 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 very strong statements here. What we talked about earlier about how hope strengthens our faith. Hope is basically, like you said, that's the engine. That's the engine to the vehicle. The engine not working. Mm-hmm. Like our heart, the hope is major. I can tell you, to my wife, I've been through some hard times. As I was saying, than most a lot of people. I mean, physically, I've been blessed, but a lot of things. If I didn't have hope, I don't know if I'd be here today. And
right.
Yes, it's right. You know, hope is everything. It really is. It's major, and we tend to forget that. We tend to forget that, and we have to have it. Absolutely. Absolutely. But, yes, I want to, we're going to go ahead and close out, but I wanted to wish our listeners a Merry Christmas. And
yes.
Like Dr. Stafford mentioned earlier, just a while ago, that our hope is all you have. You got to have hope. You never know what situation is going to bring, be coming to you tomorrow, the next second, the new year. And keep yourself around people that believe in hope and believe in positive things. Because I keep telling you guys this, is that the devil serious. You know, when you turn off all the music, turn off the computer, turn off the lights, you know, you have to have God by your side, because he's taken our youth, he's taken innocent lives, he's taken everything. He's taken it. We have to keep ourselves together by keeping ourselves around positive people. That's all across the board. And keep your prayers going. and keep hope alive. Mm. As a staff, I'll let you close out. I really enjoyed the show, and we'll get back in 2015 with some very, very beautiful topics coming up. So, again,
yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Me too. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of TV Anderson Radio Show. Join us in 2015 when we'll talk about so many different things that we're going to be talking about in next year to help you become everything that you were designed to be. God bless. Have a wonderful Christmas and a very happy new year. From all of us to all of you, be your very best. Be blessed. Be the best that just you.